Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org. From the Barton Worley Studios of Abilene Public Radio, this is Ion Entertainment. TGIF, everyone, I'm Blaine Singletary. This week marks our third full year on the air. And we're celebrating by revisiting the first event we ever talked about, the Fort Griffin Fandangle. This time around, we're speaking with Cliff Tynert. He's a longtime star of the Fandangle, and this year he's driving the stagecoaches, which can be a pretty dangerous role at times.
Well, in 76, we had, not really getting out of line, we've had a few people get bucked off, but you know, that's just kind of part of it.
And with this also being the last Friday of the month, it's time for our monthly Music of Ion Entertainment segment, where we're taking a look at this song here. That and more coming up after today's entertainment headlines. A prop vehicle that was used in the original Star Trek TV series in the late 1960s and acquired by an Ohio collector has sold at auction for just over $70,000 after a last-minute bidding war. The repository in Canton reports an Akron-area collector had been storing the partially restored 24-foot-long Galileo shuttlecraft for several years before putting it up for auction online. Auctioneer Brooks Ames says the selling price soared during the final 90 seconds of the auction on Thursday as three late bidders fought to claim the structure as the shuttlecraft of the USS Enterprise. Ames says he believes the buyer plans to restore the fake shuttlecraft and possibly display it in a museum. In other news, a judge has approved the Philadelphia Orchestra's bankruptcy reorganization plan, ending more than a year of uncertainty about the renowned symphony's future. U.S. Bankruptcy Court Judge Eric Frank says he hopes the plan approved Thursday allows the orchestra to continue to perform for audiences for many years to come. Under the plan, the 111-year-old symphony will shrink from 105 musicians to 95 and cut their pay by about 15%. The orchestra will also get a break on its rent from the Kimmel Center. In April 2011, the symphony became the first U.S. orchestra to seek Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Orchestra Chairman Richard Worley tells the Philadelphia Inquirer that there's still work to do, most notably reviving stagnant ticket sales and boosting the confidence of donors. And finally, they have a show, they have a social network. Now comes WikiLeaks, the album. WikiLeaks is branching out into the entertainment industry, announcing a Beat the Blockade CD intended to raise money and keep the online transparency advocates afloat. The group said in a statement late Thursday that the CD would feature 12 songs, including Where There Are No Secrets, The Ballad of Julian Assange, and B. Manning. It's the latest foray outside the secret-busting business for WikiLeaks, which has spawned a TV show called The World Tomorrow and started its own social network called Friends of WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks chief Julian Assange says his website, which once featured an anonymous electronic Dropbox for secret documents, has been effectively mothballed by U.S. financial blockade. And that's all for this look at today's entertainment headlines. Stay tuned. There's more Ion Entertainment on the way.
There are loaderettes at my window and zealots at my door. The FBI is on the case. The bugs are in the floor.
From Abilene Public Radio, this is Ion Entertainment. I'm Blaine Singletary. The first thing we talked about on the show when we went on the air 3 years ago was the Fort Griffin Fandangle. It's an outdoor musical and all-out celebration, really, of the history and challenges the settlers of Fort Griffin faced centuries ago. This time around, we're taking a look at the show through a different perspective. We're speaking with Cliff Tynert, who is a longtime Fandangle star and who this year is the driver of the stagecoaches led by mules and buggies. Cliff, welcome to the show.
Well, mighty glad to be here, and thank you for having me on.
Not a problem. So we're moving into the second weekend now of the Fandangle. How has the turnout been thus far?
Well, we had a really good start on the first Thursday night. We had a really good attendance. And one thing, we open that up to our military. We give them free tickets. And then some of our longtime Fandango members, we give them a discount rate, so a lot of people turn out for that. And then the first Friday and Saturday were really good, too, and I think we're not quite sold out yet, but I think we're coming along pretty good. I talked to the girls at the office yesterday, and our ticket sales are coming along pretty good. I think there's still a lot of good seats available.
So how did you first get involved with the Fandangle?
Oh, Lord. I guess first time I was in it, 1958, but first time I saw the show was 1948. We lived in Giddings, Texas, and I'd come up here and visit my aunt and uncle, and went to the show, I think, three nights running with my cousins, and I just really impressed with it, and then moved up here, moved from Giddings to Albany, I think, in 58, something like that. The Fandangle had shut down from right after 58. Then we had a little show called the Dang Fangle, which Bobby Nail put together, and it's kind of a variety show, and so Bobby had me singing some songs in that, and James Ball, who wrote all the good music for the Fandangle, really the old-time stalwart songs, the old-time favorites, James Ball did that. And anyway, we sang some of those songs for the Dang Fangle, and Bobby, I guess, heard me singing there. I mean, it's just a great thing for all of our community, because you get to knowing all these kids who come up in the Fandangle. They start performing when they're, you know, 5, 6 years old, and just come up through it, and you can really find, you know, the good singers, and a lot of people really work at it hard to develop their voice, and they develop a sense of community activism to really be a part of the community. And I think this is one of the things that has really held Albany together and makes it such a unique place here in West Texas. I mean, it's just, there's nothing like it.
This is something that the Albany community as a whole really gets involved with every year.
Yes, the whole community just really gets behind it. And you have, you know, hundreds of people in the cast. And you have a lot of people, you know, that are not even that are behind the scenes. You take all the sound and the lighting and all the music and all the stage hands, and then you have a lot of work to do to keep our stage ready and all the props ready, all the rolling stock, because, you know, we've got a lot of pageantry in our show. You know, we've got. See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, 6 teams of horses and mules that pull all our rolling stock through. And then you have all the flag parade people, the cowboys and the side saddle ladies and the kids on horses. And, man, I mean, it's a big production.
As far as the animals, that's kind of where you come in as one of the stagecoach drivers in the show. What goes into training these mules and horses to learning their cues,
well,
so to speak?
You know, you have to have good gentle stock. That's the main thing to be in this thing, something that really that you won't have any trouble with around people. And it takes a lot of time and energy to maintain, especially these teams. You have to work with them all year. Is Watt Matthews, who was one of the stalwarts and helped found the Fandangle and the president for years, he said, a mule needs to be looking through a collar every day and work to church on Sunday. So that means they need to be working all the time to keep them gentle.
Right.
And that's what we have to do, you know, to stand them up and keep them worked during the year. So when you get ready to roll around here for the Fandangle for our 2-week run here, they make sure that they're gentle and ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Has there ever been sort of an emergency involving the animals, maybe getting out of line or something? I mean, there's a lot going on stage that could really spook them.
Well, in 76, we had, not really getting out of line, we've had a few people get bucked off, but, you know, that's just kind of part of it. You know, they don't quite have them gentle or something spooks them, what have you. We hadn't had any real runaways as far as the teams are concerned.
So what does the Fandangle mean to you?
What does it mean to me? That the people of Albany come together and you have get so many friends and people working together and you get to know all these people. We're, a lot of communities, you know, they just kind of, they probably know one another, but it's not the friendship and the camaraderie like we have here. And you get to know, you know, all the, well, just like my son John was 8 weeks old when we went to Paladura Canyon. And first time, and all my kids, all of them in the show. So you have, you know, like 4 or 5 generations now that have been involved in this show. And I think it's just a really cohesive thing for Albany.
All right. Well, Cliff Tynert, thank you for joining us today.
Well, glad to be here, and thank you for your time.
That's Cliff Tynert, a longtime star of the Fort Griffin Fandangle, which is taking place this weekend in Albany, Texas. For complete schedule and ticket information, fortgriffinfandangle.org. With this being our third birthday celebration and also the last Friday of the month, it's time for our monthly Music of Ion Entertainment segment, where we take a closer look at a song in the background of our show, and I find it fitting that we take a look at our theme song. This song you're no doubt familiar with by now is called The Voice, no relation to the hit reality sing-off show of the same name. This song is by the Alan Parsons Project and can be heard on their I, Robot album. It's a familiar song to those of you who listen to us week after week, but one thing you might not be familiar with is that it has words.
It's almost a feeling you can touch in the air. You look all around you, but nobody's there. It's been a long time now since you've been aware that someone is watching you.
Now, we spoke about Eric Wolfson's involvement in the project a few months back, but today, let's look more at Alan Parsons' side of things. As an accomplished music producer, getting experience working with bands such as Pink Floyd, he's the man responsible for giving the Alan Parsons Project its unique, distinctive sound. And for doing some rather unconventional things for the music industry at the time. For example, having heavy orchestral tracks on a rock album. We played one of those this month as we were talking about The Mousetrap. It's from the band's first album, Tales of Mystery and Imagination, which, if you remember from our conversation with Sally Wolfson, features songs based on the stories of Edgar Allan Poe. This instrumental musical suite is based on Poe's Fall of the House of Usher. There's no words, but it conveys the mood of the original story quite well. It begins calmly with the full orchestra, but soon after, more rock and session instruments get mixed in, as the music builds and later descends into absolute madness. As I mentioned, Alan was responsible for many of the instrumental decisions on the albums, but this and other tracks in the project's repertoire were made possible with Parsons' team-up with Andrew Powell, who arranged and conducted the orchestra heard in these recordings. His orchestral prowess is heard even later on in the band's most well-known album, Eye in the Sky. Here's a cut from Children of the Moon. And speaking of birthdays, yesterday was the 30th anniversary of Eye in the Sky's release as an LP. I bet many of you remember the first time you heard that album. Wow, 30 years. Gone in just a blink, huh? And the same goes for these 3 years. They've flown by for me as well. Here we are, getting ready to begin our 4th year on the air, and I wish to thank everyone up here at KECU who makes this show possible on a weekly basis, and all of you for listening.
We are going to keep this celebration going throughout the summer as we are bringing back our Great Conversations series, where we'll take a look back at some of the more memorable guests over the past 3 years. Stay tuned for that and much more as we continue bringing you the information you want to know about entertainment in our area and beyond. To play us out, here's another orchestral cut from another track in Eye in the Sky, Silence and I. Ion Entertainment is a production of Abilene Public Radio and the JMC Network. The show is recorded and produced at the Barton Worley Studios in the Don Morris Building on the campus of Abilene Christian University in Abilene, Texas. As always, I'm Blaine Singletary, and as long as time keeps ticking on, I'll have my eye on entertainment. Thank you for downloading this podcast of Ion Entertainment from Abilene Public Radio. To find more episodes and to see our terms of use, visit us online at kacu.org.